see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war, just, and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this show, Watchmen for Jesus program. Show. Call it what you will. Give you stuff today you can take home with you. We're going to, middle of the week, what is this? This is the 25th of March. Boy, it's flying by. March is supposed to be 31 days. It seems like 7 days. Some months go fast. Some months go slow, weeks go fast, weeks go slow. How's that happen? Some weeks seem to just drag on. It's all relative, I guess, to what you're doing or what you're involved in. Where you got your head stuck and so forth. What you're worrying about all day or not worrying at all. Family, that I think the average Joe out there and Jane is starting to see something out there that they're wondering, something's going on. They don't know where to go, to your politician that you trust, or your preacher that you should trust, or what? Or just go golfing at Hilton Head, or teacup in your backyard. Whatever the case may be. The supernatural is getting ready to stick its head up. Under the guise of extraterrestrial nonsense, the whole world is going to be fooled with this big play that's going to happen, whenever it does. And they won't come as supernatural. When this change, you see the TVs show us science fiction. And they're getting you ready for this extraterrestrial debut. Now, those of you who have been studying this extraterrestrial agenda, as you want to call it. Some people do. You say, this old hat, but for the average person, you all forget. Doesn't have a clue except sci-fi movies, TV, and whatever else. E.T. Go Home, remember that? All that is training film, not for entertainment. It was made to brainwash you all the way back to the talkies and the silent films that turned into talkies and later Orson Welles on the radio and so forth. Slowly getting you ready for it. NASA was created for this purpose. This is the purpose of billions of dollars put into NASA. Von Braun from the Nazi brought him over here to develop our space program, which is a farce. Billions of dollars, lives lost. The ones in the 1960s made fools of watching TV and the astronauts playing their little games and the space modules till it got boring for a while. Then notice it just fell off, the space program, after they murdered those astronauts, eight of them, eight, nine, ten, what was it? Oh, gosh, did I say murder? Yeah, I guess I did. And the fire in that one, gosh, we got to stop the program for a while. Yeah, imagine that. Iron Mount Report, develop a space research program aimed at unreachable, I said unreachable targets. What does that mean, unreachable targets? And then develop an extraterrestrial menace to control people in times of peace. Iron Mount Report, 1960s. They did just that. Unreachable targets. You mean the moon's unreachable? It sure is. A ninth grader in basic science can tell you that. You all learned it too. The Van Allen belt protects this earth from getting cooked like your pet mouse in the microwave. Any flesh goes outside the Van Allen belt will cook no matter what kind of materials they got. It's microwave's family. I talked about yesterday, day before yesterday, when was it? Anyway, about how the microwaves can go through objects that throughout the earth, in the entire earth, and go through. It can go through the entire earth. Nothing can stop it. And there's all kinds of minerals throughout the earth in layers. So that space suits they have? No. Family, they have never went to the moon. And there's no plans to. You elite people out there, ain't going to happen. They're going to kill you. You understand this? The idea of buying a place to go to the moon and all, Mars and all that, is just they're laughing all the way to the bank. You elite that's buying these places, and those of you that, boy, I wish I could go, you're wasting your time. They have no intention of doing that. But Jesus Christ is coming back. That's for real. Satan's for real. Demonic entities are for real, pretending to be aliens. So you'll believe it. After all, they pretended to be gods back in the days of Greece and Egypt. Because those days, those living in those days of Egypt and the Greek mythology periods, they had no idea what aliens were. But they knew what gods were. So that's what they portrayed themselves as. Mythological gods were actually real. But they were fallen angels that you're getting ready to be introduced to as aliens. And then go back further to the Old Testament. They're called the sons of God of the Old Testament. Fallen angels that God kicked their honey butts out of heaven because they got a little high and mighty. They got low and greedy. That's what happened. There's no aliens. There's no Greek gods and all that nonsense. These are fallen angels, rejects out of heaven. And there's no good ones either. So you elite, you countries that have signed treaties with these so-called aliens that are good ones, you're being lied to. They will destroy your country under the guise of being friendly. They're not. They have you divided in the good ones and the bad ones. It's called the dialectic. So by the countries leadership and secret societies fooling us as their citizens, they're getting fooled by the fallen angels as well. It's kind of like that, you know, that little scenario of a big fish, there's always a bigger fish. Yeah. Well, that's what you got going on. But we got the biggest one of them all. We got the one that created the fishies, called God of the Bible. He's a creator of this universe and everything in it. I think I'm going to be on his side. Yeah. Because he came down here to visit us in the form of Jesus Christ in physical form. Died and rose again for our sins. And he's coming back as judge and with a vengeance. The loving God that you know right now, when he comes back, still the loving God that you always knew, but family, he's coming back to judge this time. He's got the power of heaven and hell's at his feet and heaven's at his crown. When you come back, no evil will be found. I just made that up. Family, let's dedicate the broadcast, and I think we got a lot to talk about today. Yeah, we do. Lord, today we come before you in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you give us. Lord, to open up our eyes to see what's around us. Open our hearts up. Give us divine appointments so we can help others. But Father, help us to be strong with your convictions in our heart that we fall away. That you remind us that we're moving away from your protection and from being obedient. Father, we know that as flesh you endured everything we have and then some. But Lord, we know when you come back, the flesh have been changed to glorified. Lord, we pray that we last to the end which will actually be a beginning. But Father, we know this is the trial and the test that we have to earn our way. But our sins have been paid and gives us that opportunity which we can do that. That no longer that specter of death hangs over our head. But the love of life through eternity is there in front of us. Father, we know that the Word of God is contained in the King James Bible. And there is those that want to condition us to believe otherwise. Father, we call upon you to give us that wisdom and discernment to see the difference. To cut through the deception. That this is the real battle going on today. Is for the souls of man. To look at what's important around us. And not be caught with the trivialities around us that are taking us away in different directions. Father, we pray for awakening in these churches. We pray for the parishioners to rise up to the real Savior. To speak the mind of the truth. Demand the right Bibles be used and the right message be sent. And to silence the secret societies, Lord. Because for now their voice is loud, but soon we know that their voices will be made low. Father, we pray for the awakening of these leaders, those that are in the secret societies, that they realize where they are. Take away the spirit of delusion for those, Father, you know the heart. But rise up those that know the truth to give them the opportunities to speak the truth. So that time draws near. We see the signs of the times as it gets closer to that first trumpet. To that first seal to be broken, actually. And Lord, to bring out your watchmen and unleash them that they'll start speaking the truth and bring it out. Father, we pray this week, rest this week, that you guide us. Father, you guide me as I do these broadcasts and Bible studies. We pray for those that we prayed for, our brothers and sisters that are have experienced these tragedies that we know, Lord, are being orchestrated. That, Lord, you give these families the opportunity to witness, to receive the glory of God through tragedy. That, Father, you'll be glorified to bring them comfort in their losses. Father, we pray for that return of Jesus Christ in the time of eternity that comes upon us. These things we pray, Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, here we go. Just right off the top of my head, I do have news to tell you and all that, what's going on and so forth. But I want to mention for a few minutes here. I've known people that are giving me information, and they maintain a relationship for 5-6 years or whatever. Come and they go. This is how it works. And what they'll do is they'll pretend to be Christian, use all the key words, and that's what gets my radar up. When they're all complimentary and friendly and all that, my radar goes up. Oh, you're paranoid. Nope. Experienced. And try to gain your friendship and your loyalty and your trust and all that sort of thing. They want to call you, talk to you, or send you emails and Facebook, private messages, all this, that, and the other. They introduce you to maybe one of their pastors or preachers. Say, you ought to listen to this guy. He's really good. Boy, my radar goes up big time. Mm-hmm. It does. It does right then. I say, uh-huh, what you want? What you up to, bud? So, and it always works that way. It really does. It does. Sometimes you run across people that are straight and honest, and others, they're not. It's just the way it is. This is the way the Wicca works. It's the way the warlocks work. This is how your COINTELPRO, these guys, work. The Wicca pretend to be on your side. When I say warlocks, you think, oh, Harry Potter. No. No, not at all. You got school administrators. Buku means a lot of military leaders. Oh, yeah. Oh, and female, male, doesn't matter. That you would never think were, absolutely are. Buchanan is a high priest in the Luciferian order, as is Bill Clinton. Jimmy Carter is in the occult as well. He is no Christian. No stretch of the imagination. Kissinger, that's a given. Kissinger, Haig, Jimmy Carter. I'm talking high level. I'm not talking low level stuff here. But you have the low level too. So they, okay, here's the point. Get to it. Is they'll gain your confidence, and then they'll talk about the Bible, and they'll agree with you everything until finally they start little slips. Oh, yeah, the Book of Enoch is really good. Strike one. Book of Enoch is nonsense. The Book of Enoch is never written by Enoch. Those who push that start building your wall because they're getting ready to pull a sneaky on you. There's truth in everything, but then comes this hook. You see, you got a hungry fish that sees a half a worm, but under that worm is a hook. And a hook snatches right out of the water. So watch out for that hook. So they give you some worm, you know, worm food. Looks good. Hey, this is good information. Yeah. Then they'll say, well, yeah, the Book of Enoch. Whoa, hold on. Because it contradicts the Bible. Consequently, the Enoch that's talking about is not Enoch of the Bible. It's written around the first century, by the way. 100 years after John of Patmos, was it Patmos? All those Gnostic books, Book of Mary, Book of what? Book of Thomas, Book of Mary. She didn't write no book. Oh, but there's 88 books that should have been, there's 6 books that should have been in the canon. All that's nonsense coming from lying Freemasons and lying Jesuits. So, strike one, Book of Enoch. Nope, I know you don't know what you're talking about when you talk about the Book of Enoch. Book of Enoch is a testament to the fallen angels, the ones I talked about before I started my prayer. Then they'll hit you with, they got to find out, do you believe in a rapture? Yes or no? You say, well, yeah, of course I do. Then they're going to funnel you down to post-tribulation rapture. And they're venomous about it. Now, why would they be venomous about it? That means determined that you believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're dumb, stupid, and crazy. Strike two. Because nobody knows. My question to them, they never, ever answer, is, okay, I'm pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib. But before we decide what I believe, can you tell me when the tribulation is going to be? I got a calendar right here. Tell me so I can mark it. Can you tell me? Please, go ahead. What date is it? Oh, you can't tell me, huh? Because they can't. They can never tell you. They don't know. That's why they don't know. Because God says nobody knows the day or the hour. So why argue about a position of a rapture when you don't even know when the tribulation is? So you convince these people to believe in post-trib. Hey, we're all post-tribbers. Yay. Okay, you got it. So when's the tribulation? This generation or the next? What difference does it make? What if it's the next generation? You believe in post-tribulation. And then you get to be 90 years old and you die. Never know when it's going to be. It didn't matter in the first place. They don't tell you that. Yeah, see. Pin them down, man. Make them uncomfortable if you have to. So what? Pin them down. Well, I've studied the Bible for 50 years. I've written 3 books and I've got this. So what? Is that supposed to impress me or something? What's that song, Shania Twain? It don't impress me much. Yeah, well, it don't impress me at all. But I'm from Harvard and I am. So what? Harvard is a humanist school. So if you're from Harvard, you just told me you've admitted you're full of mud. Dirty Georgia mud. Red. Dirty. Mud. Because in fact, every college and every university, with evidence, every single one, I've got the quotes, the dates, the names, can confirm every college, every university now in America is a school of humanism, socialism, and Marxism. Designed to lead you in that path of liberalism. And this is an absolute fact. Therefore, the professors cannot be trusted whatsoever. And the good ones are under fire to keep their mouth shut. That's got to be miserable. They have a career to maintain. Even your public schools. Your children are being poisoned, literally, by these schools. I'm not being sensational. I'm not being, what's the word? I can't think of the word. I'm not being militant. I'm telling you the absolute truth. They do it by what's called values clarification. And the good teachers are, again, under the gun. Good commanders are, again, under the gun by the control of these secret societies. Humanists, liberalists, they're leading you toward the New World Order and the Luciferian agenda. Now, once you know the enemy, then you know how to play them. Then you have power. But the power is through the Holy Spirit and prayer and protection and grace, you have the power. They don't. That's why they have to have all this control. Well, I run across lately, I'm not going to get in detail, not necessary, of now several fallouts with a couple of so-called friends. I knew it was coming. I just couldn't wait. I just didn't know when they were going to come out of the closet as Luciferian, when I wouldn't come over to the post-tribulation side. And they switched over, man, like in 24 hours, to completely venomous. I said, okay. Flush. So, family, this is what's going on. Now, why would they bring out the post-tribulation rapture? And I'm going to end it here. Talked enough about this now already. It's because they're supporting the fallen angels. And whether they know it or not, I personally don't care. Fact is that it's what they're doing. Whether they know it or not, that's their business. That's their misfortune if they don't. Because when the one called Simon de Manuel, the false prophet, Maitreya, whatever, shows up, he's going to be the Christian's return of Jesus. He will not be. So they've got to get rid of the tribulation out of the way, since it's already happened. That's why you have all these people jumping around when you're talking about hailstones falling here and there. And we got a red river, means we're already in the sixth trumpet and all this other nonsense. They know a rapture is coming, the ones at high level. There will be a removal of many people. They've got to explain that removal. So it doesn't matter, pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, there's no sense in even taking a position. Because by the time it happens, it's too late to take a position. So it's nonsense. So they have an agenda. They wouldn't be so venomous about it. You see how it works? Convince yourself it's post-trib. Convince yourself it's mid-trib. Say, now I know. Now, what do you do with it? What difference does it make? Because if you're not born again, it don't matter. You're going to be stuck anyway. So what difference does it make what position you take? And that's just the other part. And here's my final comment on this. Is you have, here we go. Officially, you got a pre-tribulation rapture view. You've got a mid-tribulation rapture view. You got a pre-wrath view. But that's not all. You got a partial rapture view, a mid-tribulation rapture view, a pre-wrath rapture view, partial of all of them. You got so many combinations. Must be that nobody can figure it out. Has anybody figured that one out? Has anyone figured out that no one's figured it out yet? And yet they fight for it. You see the ridiculous part of this? So that means they have an agenda. Because there's no argument. There's no reason to be so venomous about this belief unless you have an agenda behind it. So, enough of that. That's taking a big part of the YouTube and friendships and everything else. False preachers. And the part about the worm is they will give good sermons. Good, honest sermons. Ones that you say, well, that's pretty good. Then they start slipping in that hook. Don't get caught up, because we're using is a word called craft. Yes, they're using craft on you. That's how they hook you. And one other trick they use, to get you to call them, get you to visit them, get you to come to their place, is a subservient position, which means you're voluntarily going to the witchcraft. You're going to this occult. And when you do that, you give permission for their minions to act upon you. That's how it works. When you go to a seance, when you go to a tarot card reading, you go to a tattoo parlor, you go to them, you call them, you visit them, you do for them, you voluntarily, when you take the mark of the beast, not that it's put upon you when you're sleeping, it don't count. It's when you go to them, it then opens up a portal allowing you to be attacked because you have opened up that portal. Because you've taken the subservient role. They are tricky. They are tricky. So you don't take that. So you pray about everything you do. Holy Spirit will say, okay, here's the deal. And he'll show you. That's how that works. It's called spiritual warfare, family. Spiritual warfare. And that's where we are today. I believe in solutions. At least sometimes solution is just being tough and going through it. Sometimes solutions is to make it last longer, delay it. Then sometimes just to solve it, to stop it. It depends. Okay. I got that out, and I hope people heard that. I want to hear that. Or twisting in their little undershorts. Because I got more to talk about that later down the road. That's how that works. The coming new order and to defeat the new order is the role today. And I got a multimedia presentation for you today. It won't be all me talking. One or two you've heard before, puts them in context, and a couple you haven't heard before that supports what I've been telling y'all for a long time. From their own mouth, it comes out. And I'll give you that commentary as we go along today. March the 25th, 2015. The Thai PM, Prayuth, interesting name. He warns the media that he has the power to execute reporters. Well, that's not nice. Thailand's Prime Minister, Prayuth Chan O-cha, Yasu, delivers a speech at the Stock Exchange of Thailand. And he lashed out at journalists on the Wednesday, yeah, that'd be today, saying he would probably just execute those who did not report the truth in the latest outburst and then aimed at Thailand's media. Now, that could be taken both ways. The truth is... as the globalists see it, or the truth as the truer people see it? Who's he talking about? They can be taken in two different directions, see? We'll probably just execute them. So they're getting everybody ready for this new world order. It is worldwide, family. It's not just one place. It's not just America, family. I'm leaving this country. I'm going to get rid of my, become a sovereign citizen and get my letter, you know, my name from the birth certificate, from capitals to all this stuff. Oh, don't forget to change the color dot on your mailbox either. And those that are afraid of the red, red and blue and all this color that they're going to come get you with, just go to Walmart and then go ahead and get you a whole bunch of little dots and put them all over your mailbox. They're all confused. Sorry. They're all confused to NATO when they come to pick you up. Yeah. See, they got everybody scared. Yeah, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. They got on YouTube. It's constant. It comes by every 3-4 months. They'll run these YouTubes by. NATO or UN has got a colored, like a red dot on your mailbox. It means they're going to come get you and pull you out of your house at 3 o'clock in the morning and kill you. If you're blue dot, you have another status. If you're yellow dot, just re-educate you or something. Yeah, I'm serious. That's what they're telling people on the internet. You know, and people believe this nonsense at high levels. So I just said, well, hey, solve it, man. Go to Walmart, you know, and go buy a whole bunch of those little dots, you know, at the school center, whatever, and go stick them all over your box, polka dots. That confuse them, right? and then just drink a Coca-Cola when they come by. No problem. And they will know what to do, as if you didn't have an address on your door. If you don't like your neighbor, well, just take it and stick it on his mailbox. They'll think it's you. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. People actually believe this stuff and worry about it. Anyway, no, I haven't had too much coffee. Moving right along here, family. Finland won't be teaching math and science and history anymore. Finland will start making drastic changes to an already successful education system. Why now? Well, this model changed. The other countries go about educating their children. We've had ours, humanist teaching all along in the fraudulent history classes. You've got to be kidding me. Common Core, No Child Left Behind, was a torture education and caused the teachers to cheat. I know how else to soften it up. And give the other teachers, the good teachers, heartburn. You know? And the little Eastern Stars run around like banded roosters trying to make sure everybody follows in line. I'm going to tell on you. You know, that kind of thing. It's ridiculous. It's like back in grade school, but these people are serious. They're serious. Because you lose your job. You know, if you're not doing the right thing. And I know teachers that tried to do the right thing behind their back and do the right thing. And they get, you know, a letter in their record book or something or whatever y'all teachers have. And you get warned about, you better start teaching like this. So they put all the history books in the back of the room. And they have little handouts now. See, now, here's the deal. In the 30s and 40s and 50s, it was all history. Y'all baby boomers and before, y'all remember? You stand up in class at first, second, third grade. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. So you go and you put your left hand over your right hand, over your left breast. Over my heart, because it's what it means. No, it don't either. Oh, I got something for you on that one. I'm coming with it. All right. You remember yesterday, those that listened, I told you six phases of the World War II was a bring us to a dictatorship in America, as orchestrated by FDR himself. Quotes I got, names I've got, background information, slam dunk, pew, got it. Well, it all fell apart on him. Yamamoto didn't succeed in destroying the four aircraft carriers. Oops. And Hitler got a little bit lustful crazy and power crazy and went to Russia instead of going on into Britain and France. As he worked out with Churchill, yes, as he worked it out with Churchill, he's supposed to do, his second cousin, Churchill. Yes, Knights of Malta he was. Churchill was a murderer responsible for 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania. He is strictly responsible for the deaths of those sailors and folks above on May 7th, 1915, Lusitania. Historians confirmed he's responsible working with Germany to pull off the escort ship to make sure he's a setting duck to sink Lusitania. Why? To bring America into the war. Called a false flag. That's a fact, man. Absolute proven fact. A mass murderer, Churchill. And, of course, he was a Knights of Malta like Mandela. Mandela's a mass murderer, too. He couldn't hold a candle to Martin Luther King. Not even the same category. Mandela's just a murderer. Knights of Malta, he was. Y'all getting the picture? Hope I'm not being too harsh. Anyway, so, fifth phase, he's supposed to go into Britain and France and take it over. He did France, and Britain was next, but he got a little crazy and went off. Now, watch this. Now, it has to tie together. I'll show you. If he had went across like he's supposed to, in the plans of the Vatican and Illuminati to cross over the Atlantic into Nova Scotia, 1939, FDR had told Congress behind closed doors in March of 4th, 1939, he was going to declare a dictatorship in America, put down any revolt. I got the quote, family. It's slam dunk. I got, people don't know about this. It's documented by a senator that gave it to William G. Carr in Red Fog Over America, and it's been suppressed. So virtually, if Yamamoto had succeeded into completely destroying those aircraft carriers, and he could have, he didn't, he would have taken over Hawaii, used that as a jump-off point, resupply, and take over easily California coast, and move on in. You say, oh, no way. Oh, yes, way. Because Hitler would come in, mid Nova Scotia, Canada, shoot in the middle, cut the United States in half. You say, well, there's no way we could let that happen. Well, yeah, because you see, FDR would have had a dictatorship already put in position. They'd have walked in virtually unopposed, and Adolf Hitler would have been the New World Order dictator. And they had a map, world map of 10 unions worldwide set up for him to become a dictator for the world. It's all set up, family. I got the evidence. Okay, so I'm not worried about that. You just put things together and you can see it. Well, here's my main point. Now, I've laid the groundwork. Watch this. Watch this. We were in school, 1930s, 1940s, 1950s. Oh, that was me. Well, 1957, 58. Still, I'll pledge allegiance to the flag. We're doing all that still. Did you know that before 1940, thereabouts, give or take, we weren't doing that? In the 1920s and 30s, it started in the black schools first. Saying the Pledge of Allegiance with the Heil Hitler sign called the Bellamy Salute. Look it up right now. I challenge you. I challenge you to do it right now. Bellamy Salute. That's how our parents in the grade schools was giving allegiance to the flag of the United States of America Incorporated. Instead of the hand over the heart, it was out with the right hand out and the palm down. Heil Hitler. It sure was. And then it went to the white schools. And then everybody's doing it. Now, it all went to hell in a handbasket. Pardon my expression, but I can say hell when I was a show. We're talking about hell. Hell's a bad place. It went to hell in a handbasket when Hitler didn't do what he's supposed to do, when Yamamoto failed. Uh-oh, this is not going to happen. And when the revolt that they had scheduled to happen and dictatorship in America didn't happen either. Uh-oh, we better change this right quick. This is not working. So they went to the right hand over the left breast. That's the story there. Isn't that something? They had us prepared for Heil Hitler until he failed in his task by the Illuminati to make the world a Nazi dictatorship with the help of FDR, Churchill, and all the rest of them, to a new world order in 1945. And that was started right when Albert Pike's plans from 1871 to 1945 ended. And the next trip would be World War III between Islam and Zionism, yet to happen. They knew that in 1945. And as a matter of fact, to show you, the takedown of America began in 1945 and 48. So they readjusted their plans and said, okay, let's make it look like America won the war. They did the same thing in Revolutionary War. We lost that war too. And our government, working with the Nazis, working with the British hierarchy, secret societies, While they had the Nuremberg trial as the distraction, they brought 10,000 Nazis, Argentina, to sneak them in the United States, and then some directly in the United States, including Adolf Hitler, who died in 1966. Now, you got the picture? So they readjusted and brought the Nazis here. We didn't win the war. We just brought them here. I mean, it looked like we won the war. Same thing they did in the Revolutionary War. Wasn't that sneaky? That's exactly what happened. And von Braun was instrumental in setting up our NASA space program, except UN, except the CIA, except the whole darn thing to continue the operation anyway. Oh, by the way, did you know that the right hand over the left breast, I pledge allegiance to the flag, is actually the second degree Mason sign for fidelity? Yeah, that's right. That's correct. Second degree Mason sign. Y'all like football? How many of y'all like football? Every time they score a touchdown, hands go up, palms facing each other, and the referee signals a touchdown. You know what that is? That's the third degree Mason sign for exaltation, joy, and exaltation. They got to learn that sign to be a Freemason at the third degree. How about that? Y'all like baseball? Hey, take me out to the ball, eat ball franks and all that stuff. Baseball, you like that? Yeah. Well, did you know that Doubleday, Mr. Doubleday, was a Freemason? Did you know in late 1800s, that Doubleday, Freemason, created the game of baseball? Did you know that the baseball diamond is a Masonic logo on a field? Three outs, nine innings, threes, occult numbers. I bet y'all didn't know that, did you? Is that batty or what? Anyway, so 1945, 1948, target America. Take them down till the next war. '48 to 1953, Brock Chisholm. That boy is evil. Good gosh almighty. United Nations World Health Organization, right after the war, began the takedown of America. You see how it works now? He said, and I quote, Brock Chisholm, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. And they set forth with that with a fervor. And by 1966, they come up with the Iron Mount Report that we're living with today. They come up with plans to destroy our national sovereignty. You know how they did that? By enhancing, bringing up, cultivating communism in 1950, 1960, and that was the reason we lost or lost pretty much, Korea. It was all pre-planned using rules of engagement. And Vietnam was always planned to lose by rules of engagement, by design. So was World War II. Commanders in the military, well, I don't care whether you're a three-star, four-star general, or admiral, I don't care what you are. They will never allow you the opportunity to win by maneuver, supply, fire superiority. It doesn't matter what you got. They will make sure the war will go according to their plans. No matter what you do. So all your going to command and staff college and all that stuff, for nothing. I can prove it to you in a heartbeat. And if you don't want to see it, that's your problem. But you better wake up. because they're jerking you around and killing your troops, and you're letting it happen. Admiral Sharp said, and I quote, in Vietnam, "From the beginning, we should have closed the harbor of Haiphong and prevented all the vital imports from reaching that area. Instead, we permitted them to import all the necessities of war without any difficulty whatsoever, despite the fact that we control the seas. It was a great mistake, of course, and immeasurably increased the casualties that our side incurred," unquote, Admiral Sharp. Did you know that December the 9th, 1950, Chicago Tribune wrote a good article? "The members of the Council on Foreign Relations," actually says the members of the council, that would be the Council of Foreign Relations they're talking about, "should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dry blood of the last war," that'd be World War II, "and the fresh blood of the present war," the Korean War. You know why? This is so massive, what I'm going to tell you. Some people just kind of gaff over it. To me, it's immeasurable. Let me tell you this. And also, I want to remind you something very important. It is not just American soldiers that they're using as pawns. It's the VC. It was the Germans. It was the other side. They use as pawns as well, having us to kill each other for their gain, for their secret doggone societies, for their Luciferian agenda that they lie. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, Freemasons, and they're killing their own Freemasons. Family, I'm telling you what's going on. Korean War. You know, it's interesting to note in the Korean War, and I've talked about this many times, but to me it's massive what I'm going to tell you. If I've got new listeners, oh, please challenge it. Please. I wish you would. In the Korean War, Taiwan was Formosa, was willing, ready and willing to cross the channel and retake communist China. Now, this is after the alleged loss of the Nazis, which is a lie. So allegedly we won World War II. Nazism, fascism destroyed, which was a lie. But according to the history and all that, and everybody celebrated and whatever. And we bombed two cities in Japan for no doggone reason. Murdered these people for nothing. Truman ordered by the Vatican to murder the people in two cities for nothing in Nagasaki, Hiroshima. For nothing. But human sacrifice. That's a fact. 1945. We got to have another enemy. Got to have an enemy. Communism was the next enemy. It's all set up. What after communism? Islam fundamentalism. It's always an enemy set up. Well, 1950, to make sure communism maintained as the next enemy, Taiwan, Formosa, was willing to cross the channel and retake Red China back. They were exiled. The Free Chinese was exiled, where the communists took over China. That was not allowed to happen. The communists must not be removed. In the same fashion, now listen, this is going to come up again here shortly, that the Islamic fundamentalists are not to be removed until World War III. It hadn't happened yet, which was planned before 1871, Albert Pike. They've got to have Islamic fundamentalism in place to use Islam against Zionism for World War III. That's got to happen. That's why they can't get rid of Islam. That's why they had to keep Bin Laden around, even though he's dead since 2001. According to Munir Bhutto, he'd been dead since at least 2007. They had to keep him alive, theoretically, to keep Islam alive, till they can use it for World War III. You see? Now, all this is going to mean something for you in a minute. Hang in there. But let me show you how drastic they went on this in the Korean War. They had to make sure communists stayed in power. Because General Douglas MacArthur wrote in his diary, is that credible enough for you? Yeah. Quote General Douglas MacArthur. He said, begin quote, the possibility of Red China entry into the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the American 7th Fleet in June to neutralize, blockade Formosa, Taiwan, Formosa at the time, which in effect protected the Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men, unquote. Now, according to the book Untold Story of Douglas MacArthur, not only did Truman declare it was against American policy for free Chinese to reclaim communist China, but he ordered the American fleet in the Straits of Formosa to make sure. That should burn you up, folks. Because that's never stopped. It's always been this way. By your Freemason brothers and your Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and your government, and European government, and Russian government, and Chinese government. Now you got it? Yeah. You know, protected by U.S. Navy, China was free to send its soldiers to North Korea to aid in their attack on the South because we were kicking their butts, as Americans do. Two regiments of American infantry army and one regiment of Marines was closing in on them. It would turn them into mincemeat. So they had to call the Chinese to make sure it didn't happen and make a facade of it, to make a sneaky. Our own government, Russian government, British government, the whole doggone lot of them work together. Americans are kicking their butt, but they let our own 7th Fleet block 500,000 really ticked off South Koreans that wanted their, Chinese they wanted their land back, their homes back. Motivation was there, supply was there, and they would have taken back Red China to make it free. But they couldn't have that because they had to use communism as the next enemy throughout the next 15 years. That's why they did that. And you know what? Did you know that since he could not fight China without first getting through the U.S. Navy, Chiang Kai-shek offered the use of his troops to fight in South Korea. I quote Douglas MacArthur. The Taiwanese government of Chiang Kai-shek, who, less than a week after the North Koreans had crossed the 30th parallel, offered the State Department an advanced force of 33,000 troops, like one large division, that would be embarked for Korea within 5 days, a whole division in 5 days, after the offer was accepted. Suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was at that time a member of the United Nations, and therefore could have been represented in the United Nations force. But the American government would not tolerate such a move, unquote. Why? Because we're under control of the doggone Vatican, and the Vatican's under control of the Illuminati, and the secret societies have got their little knickers into every little thing as the enforcers in our government, European government. Right? You got it now? That works. Did you know that the true commander of U.S. forces in Korea was undersecretary for political and security council affairs in the United Nations? Here we go. And so by agreement between UN member states, that position was always held by a communist. And during the Korean War, It was helped by Konstantin Zinchenko of Russia. They were relaying our plans to Russians, as they were in Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq. Family, it's never stopped. You know what? MacArthur said, quote, I ordered General Stettmeyer, Chief of the Air Force, to employ B-29s on the following morning to destroy the Yalu bridges and cut the eastern line of communication between Manchuria and North Korea. An immediate dispatch came from Secretary of State George Marshall, countermanding my order and directing me to postpone all bombing of targets within 5 miles of the Manchurian border, unquote. You know, even a North Korean official, a general, General Lim Pao, who was a general in the Red Chinese Army, fought against the United States and Korea, said, and I quote, I would never have made the attack against risk of my men if I'd not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my line of supply communication, unquote. And did you know that Joseph Martin, House Minority Leader, was real ticked off? He said, I quote, if we're not in Korea to win, this administration should be indicted for the murder of thousands of American boys, unquote. Does that sound just a tad bit familiar? Nixon, Obama, Bush, Clinton. Does that sound familiar, family? How about that? Now, the rules of engagement override any of your plans for victory as you were taught in the staff. You know, I'll tell you what. Wouldn't it be cool if you had to go to war? I mean, that wouldn't be ever cool, of course, but let's say you had to go. And you just say, you know, I know about this because I heard this crazy guy on the radio tell me about it. So all you generals get together and you go to your Joint Chief of Staff leader and whatever general he is, his soul to soul the devil, and CFR and say, look, we're going to go to war, right? Okay, can you tell us who's going to win so we'll know what to do before the war starts? Before this war starts, can you tell us what y'all have decided is going to happen? Let us know so we can adjust accordingly. That's really honestly what you should do. Because they already know who's going to win every war. I'm not being over-exaggerative. I'm being very honest about it, actually. Because that's a fact. They've planned every war, knowing who's going to win, by using the rules of engagement to slow you down. By telling your Joint Chief of Staff what to do. By telling your Secretary of the Navy what to do. What orders to issue that you commanders are real commanders? I wonder, what are they doing this for? And you get troops killed and you're not standing up. That's what you're a general for, man. To tell that 3-star general to stick up his wazoo. Actually, Michael Jackson, general of British, did this very same thing to that powder puff general named Wesley Clark. A waste. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He tried to start World War III in June of 1999 in Kosovo. Oh, I know that for a fact. Look it up right now. And General British General Michael Jackson, at the Pristina Airport, he was ordered by Wesley Clark to intercept British Russian Spetsnaz that's going to take the Pristina Airport. And the mechanized column of Brits, under command of a lieutenant, said, we got a problem here. This general, Wesley Clark, has ordered me to intercept the Russians, 200 of them. We've got guns drawn. I need some help here. So General Michael Jackson, in Kosovo, told Wesley Clark, quote, and I quote him, we're not starting World War III for you. Now that's a real general. To stand up to these lying generals that belong to secret societies. Now, have I said enough? because I got something for you. I've laid the groundwork. Oh, did you know that we actually funded the Bolshevik Revolution through Wall Street? Did you know we funded the Nazi movement through IG Farben chemical cartel? Did y'all know that? Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, we did. I get the evidence on that too. You will not refute it. You could try, you could deny it, but you won't refute it. Now, that being said, check this out. I want you to hear this. Here we go. This is Admiral Ace Lyons in a meeting recently, fairly recently. And I want you to hear what he has to say. It's like they don't know what's going on. They don't know what I've already told you, or they're part of it. I can't determine that. Either way, now that you have the background, you'll appreciate this conference a little bit more. Here we go. Oops, video not found. Let's see if we refresh it. Try it again. Well, that's why.
Okay. We're very pleased to have Admiral James Lyons with us. Sir, welcome.
James Lyons. Okay.
Well, thank you, Frank. Sorry I missed the earlier presentations due to my 3 hour and 20.
February the 11th, 2015. February. This is last month. February the 11th, 2015. Here we go.
A minute commute this morning. But, you know, as a number of you heard me say before, we've had many opportunities to change the course of history. And it hasn't mattered whether it's been a Republican or Democratic administration. We failed every one of them, starting with Carter, with the takeover of our embassy. We could have cut off Khomeini and his Islamic fundamentalism at the knees. We were going to take Cog Island, and he rejected it. We could have walked in. The next time was the Marine Barracks bombing. And you all probably wonder why we never responded. I won't go into the long detail, but the guy that sabotaged the strike, and I'm glad you're all sitting down, was the Secretary of Defense. Not once, but twice. Reagan approved the French wanted to do a combined strike, and Reagan approved it, and Weinberger wouldn't issue the order. I have personally talked to George Shultz and Bud McFarlane. They told me they pleaded with him, and he wouldn't do it. You have to say, who the hell got to him, or what got to him? I've never been able to get an answer on that. In the Gulf Tanker War in 87, we were going to bring down the Khomeini regime. You know, and the guy that sabotaged, I had briefed Weinberger at my headquarters at Pearl Harbor that summer. This was going to be in August of 87. And the one who undercut us the most was our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Crow, at the time. You know, if you go forward and you look at, you know, we shot down by accident that Iranian civilian airliner a few months later. And what did Khomeini do? He said, I'm drinking from the chalice of poison. And he said, I have to make a truce with Saddam Hussein because the Americans have shown they're coming in on Iraq's side. Well, think of what the hell we could have done had we executed the strike we wanted to do in August of 87. You know, we all say we have to identify the threat. Well, I think the one who identified it the best was Erdogan from Turkey when he said, Islam is Islam. There are no modifiers. democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective. He couldn't have said it any plainer. And until you recognize that Islam is the political movement masquerading as a religion, you're never going to come to grips with it. And as far as a strategy, let me just conclude one thing, and as I just had in my latest op-ed, the Obama administration has a strategy. It's very simple. Any thinking American should be able to grasp it. It's anti-American, anti-Western, it's pro-Islamic, it's pro-Iranian, and pro-Muslim Brotherhood. And with that, I'll yield the mic.
Thank you, sir.
How about that, huh? Last month. Amazing how God delivers things to us we can hear. So he blames Obama, and rightly so. But hold on a minute about anti-American. Family, it's not just Obama. It's every one of them. Because they belong. You recall where he said he drank from the poison chalice? He's talking about the Jesuits, because they have the drinking of the poison cup. You see, the Jesuits, there's an indication of Jesuits control. Boy, I bet that's ticking some people off. Yeah, it should. Sometimes I hold my tongue. So he blames Obama, right? Okay. March of 4th, 1939. Behind closed doors. Here's what FDR said to three congressional committees. I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with American people, as far as a democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. In last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. I am putting my people, that's Illuminati, ahead of all instruments, that's the American people. Here's a Freemason. He worked for the Jesuits. He said this, quote, in front of three congressional committees. Secret Audience, Military Appropriation Committee, Ways and Means Committee, Special War Finance Committee. And that quote was written down by Senator Lundeen, who gave it to William G. Carr, who later put it in his book after FDR died. It was never to be revealed to the public. Now, you heard Ace Lyons there talking about the Islamic threat. But then it comes to my mind, I guess that former Admiral, retired Lyons, should actually talk to, if y'all want to tell him to do that, you might want to write him an email or something. And tell him to talk to Jim McClurney. They should get together. You know why? I'll let Jim McClurney tell you.
It's going to show some of those weapons from Benghazi ended up in the hands of ISIS. So we helped build ISIS. Now, there's a danger there. And
how come they don't get together? And McClurney and Ace Lyons should get together with Hillary Clinton. They should all three get together and discuss this.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan. and we did not want to see them control Central Asia, and we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine. You deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
Stinger missiles, yeah, I had to deal with those when I was in Kosovo as a security manager. And I was working with the Russian intelligence. And I was working with the, actually I had a couple rebel leaders I was working with, Muhammad Jamali, and the Italian Carabinieri had my own little thing going on over there. We were concerned about the reports I was getting in the field about those darn Stinger missiles in my region. And then I saw that Al-Qaeda was being supported by our own government. And they drove around in Mitsubishis with RHIS spray paint on the side of the car. You know, right there they are. RHIS is Iranian Islamic group, we'll call them. Charity group of some sort that were actually Al-Qaeda. And it's spray paint on the side of their car. Al-Haramain, and I raised Cain for every meeting at Bonsteel I could. I guess that's why my 7-year contract ended up being 5, but yeah, well, whatever. And the Russians were interested because I was would give them information, absolutely, because I was responsible for 300 people, man, in my region. I worked for the OSCE, I did. And our government, working with Albanian customs, let 12 Chechens come through unattended. They were terrorists. And the Russians got wind of it, and I said, I'll try to find out what I can. And sure enough, through Pristina Airport, we allowed 12 Chechens to come through the airport into the country. Russians were in my region, Kamenitsa. I'm like, it was embarrassing. It was. And I had lieutenants that were American lieutenants and majors that would sneak me reports because I would bring it up at Bonsteel. They didn't like it either because the commanders, generals, and the State Department there were working with somebody else. But at least Hillary is consistent. Yeah, she's consistent. When she has to be.
So if you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit, in part because the United States had, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well-armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
You see, the Soviets, Americans working together. That's where we developed the Islamic fundamentalist threat was then. That's how they did it. So the Soviets and Americans working together in Afghanistan, and the Soviets getting their soldiers killed, and Americans getting the Islamic fundamentalists killed, and I can prove that. Because right here is Zbigniew Brzezinski talking to him in the late 70s. In the late 70s, he tells the Afghan jihad war fighters about how to go after the Soviets. To show you, it all comes together. Then I got their own words, man. And then Bin Laden was brought into it. And they killed him with Omar Sheikh, killed him in 2001. That's why they had to kill those SEALs to keep him quiet. Yeah. In 2011. Now you know. Well, I'll let Zbigniew Brzezinski tell you. You don't believe me? Fine. He'll tell you right now. As he lies to more Janine fighters.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day, because your fight will prevail, and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again, because your cause is right, and God is on your side.
The purpose of coordinating with the Pakistanis will be to make the Soviets bleed for as much as long as possible.
So that's where it's developed, but they're not done. I've got evidence. I mean, this is slam dunk evidence. Slam dunk evidence. Brzezinski, Hillary Clinton, McCurney, Ace Lyons. But I'm not done. You know, I'm just not done yet. The broadcast is not over and I'm not finished. They got a CIA agent. Let's bring them in too. Man, we'll just have a conference here. How about that? Yeah, let's just have a party.
We're sitting down with Michael Scheuer, the man who had served in the CIA for more than 20 years up until 2004. At one time, he was the chief of the CIA Bin Laden unit. Then he went and exposed how counter-effective Washington's methods were in the fight against terror. He looked at the U.S. through its enemy's eyes. In fact, it's the title of one of his books called Through Our Enemy's Eyes. I'm very pleased to have the chance to interview you,
Thank
Mr.
you.
Scheuer.
I'm glad to be here.
Bin Laden is gone. Who is Washington's number one enemy now?
Washington's enemy is an enemy that doesn't exist. We're fighting an Islamic enemy that Washington believes is out to kill us because we have elections, because we're free, because we have women in the workplace. It's an enemy that doesn't exist. It didn't exist when Bin Laden was alive. It doesn't exist now. America is being attacked because of its foreign policy in the Muslim world, because of its support for Israel, because of its support for the Saudi police state, because of its presence on the Arab Peninsula. And until we accept that, until Americans can say to each other, whether you support aid to Israel or not, our relationship with Israel is causing this war, we are not going to be able to defeat this enemy. And Israel itself, as a country, is not the problem. The real problem is the leaders of the Jewish American community in the United States who influence and corrupt our Congress to support Israel when we have no interest there.
You imply that the Israeli lobby is dragging the United States into the wars, into
absolutely.
The conflict?
They're absolutely dragging us in. Iraq was a war that was proffered or was called for mainly.
Then let me ask you this. Yeah. The situation in the region, in the wake of all these revolutions in the Middle East and North Africa,
yes.
You can pretty much describe it as turmoil. Turmoil is no good for Israel.
Okay, see, now he turns it around. These guys are so sneaky. God, now he blames it on Israel. Family, it's the dadgum Jesuits. It's the secret societies. And it's the fake Jews, yeah. But it's also the fake Irish, the fake German, the fake Italian, the fakes that are part of the New World Order, which are the secret societies. That's the enemy. And the Vatican, the Jesuit murderers, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. That's who we're talking about here. That controls the world politics. Now, see, now the CIA guy here, he turns around and blames on Israel. The Jews, that's the Jews did it, Jews did it, Jews did it. You see how they turn this thing around? But he admits that, well, ISIS doesn't exist. Then he twists it. Then they write a book about it. And they get on this thing and come up with nonsense. Hey, commanders, how do you make you feel? Huh? Now, and we as military, I'm a former U.S. Marine, are the pawns in this game, and I don't like it none. At 26 suicides per day, I know y'all are killing our troops on purpose. You secret society guys, I know you are. Because you don't want resistance to the New World Order and North American Union by the Russian, Chinese, and Belgium and other foreign troops that's already here. Because they're afraid of our troops. We'd kick their butts back to the countries of which they came from. So you're killing off our own troops because you belong to secret societies. So Pentagon, you're sitting across from a general or a colonel that's a Knights of Malta or a Knights of Columbus. He's your enemy. Sorry to tell you that. Same thing in Britain and Germany and wherever else you are. And all the commanders are marching in France, right? Hand in hand. We are solid against the Islamic terrorists. Man, they're the ones causing it with their own secret societies and their intelligence services working together. The DGSC in France works against the French people. As does Merkel. She's not for the French people. The German commander, president's not for the German people. They're for the secret societies. Getting the ear full today. I'm tired of this doggone lying and cheating and carrying on and stuff. And they need to know that we know. Did you know? I got a report here, South Asia Analysis Group, paper number 433. It says between 6,000 and 10,000 Muslims, majority of them Arabs, went and fought against the Soviet troops in Afghanistan. With Saudi Arabia funding them, ISI training and motivating them, and the CIA and other Western intelligence agencies equipping them. Osama bin Laden was a blue-eyed boy of the CIA. Did you know that Castro back then was a Jesuit? 7-year Jesuit? Saddam, all these guys are Freemasons or Jesuits. How about that? I'm not done yet. The CIA back in 1993 had asked the ISI, Pakistani Intelligence, to divert part of their dregs, they call them, of two groups to Bosnia. And they were to assist the Muslims there in the fight against the Serbs. That was next after Afghanistan. We formed the jihad in Afghanistan to use that from now on as the Islamic fundamentalist. That's going to last another 10 or 15 years until today, until World War III. And the transfer to Bosnia was funded by Saudi intelligence. The arms and ammunition was given by the Iranian intelligence. The leadership and motivation was provided by serving and retired officers of the ISI and Turkish intelligence. And did you know that Omar Sheikh, the man who killed bin Laden? Yeah. Omar Sheikh masterminded the kidnapping of Daniel Pearl of the Wall Street Journal. See, he had his jihad inoculation experience in Bosnia, as bin Laden had in Afghanistan from Bosnia. They were diverted to Kosovo by CIA, and thereafter left in the lurch after they had done a hatchet job for us in the Balkans. 2001, about there, 2002, I was in Kosovo from 99 to 2004. I know one night in Macedonia when the NLA, Albanian rebels, went against the Macedonian forces. I know for a fact that on the side of the Albanian rebels, Muslims, was 17 American advisors from MPRI. I know for a fact, on the Macedonian forces, that same night, was MPRI officers from America working with the Macedonian forces. And I know for a fact that Bonstil in Kosovo had to rush to get helicopters to pick up the 17 MPRI advisors for the rebels, get them out of there before the Macedonian forces closed in. That would have been really embarrassing, you know. Have American forces with the rebels and American forces with the Macedonians at the same time. Really embarrassing that night in Arashevo. Oh, and by the way, when the Macedonian forces closed in on the rebels, the Albanian rebels, that night, they put them on school buses, and they patted their little butts, and they sent them back to Kosovo. Now, don't you come back here no more here. Yeah, it's all scripted out, family. It's all scripted. Nixon tried a military takeover in 1972-74, working with General Cushman, Marines. I got the evidence. I got the testimony and the evidence. Boy, I'm ticked off. You know, sometimes I got to say these things and do a broadcast to just make my toes curl. You know, because I'm getting kind of used to it. But then when I start talking about it, it just dawns on me. And people just, you generals out there, you colonels, what are you doing? Are you such cowards? You can fight in a war, but when you come home, you turn into power puffs. What's wrong with you? And they're murdering our troops. Doggone it. Our troops are being murdered. So they won't have to be resistance against the North American Union. Well, yeah. You know, in 2007, Vladimir Bhutto, change the subject, sort of, not really. She had an interview with David Frost, Vladimir Bhutto, several months before she is assassinated. 2007. Here's what happened.
There was one report that said that you had arranged to send President Musharraf a letter to be sent in the event of the assassination, urging him to investigate certain individuals in his government. Is that true?
Yes, it is true that I wrote to General Musharraf. I received information from General Musharraf that a friendly country had passed on to them the information that I could be attacked by a gang from the Afghan warlord Baitullah Masood, or by Hamza bin Laden, the son of Osama bin Laden, or by the Pakistani Taliban in Islamabad, or by a group in Karachi. So I sent back a letter saying that while these groups may be used, I thought it was more important to go after the people who supported them, who organized them, who could possibly be the financiers or the organizers of the finance for those groups, and I named three individuals who I thought were their sympathizers. Now, I understand that I could be wrong and my suspicions could be misplaced, but these are the people that I suspect want to stop the restoration of democracy. They want to stop my return because they know in 1993, when Pakistan was on the brink of being declared a terrorist state, I stopped the rise of terrorism, and they know that I can do it again. So I feel that these are the forces that really want to stop not just me, but the democratic process and the will of the people from triumphing.
And in terms of these three people that you mentioned, were they members of or associated with the government?
Yes, well, one of them is a very key figure in security. He's a former military officer. He's someone that has had dealings with Jaish-e-Mohammed, one of the banned groups, with Maulana Azhar, who was in an Indian jail for decapitating three British tourists and three American tourists. And he also had dealings with Omar Sheikh, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden. Now, I know that having dealings with people does not necessarily mean direct evidence, but I also know that internal security has totally collapsed in Pakistan, and that internal security cannot collapse without there being some blind eye, if not collusion, being turned to the rise of the militants and militancy. Not only are our tribal areas out of our control, but even the beautiful valley of Swat is now under takeover by Islamists. So I would like to see a Pak-led police inquiry assisted by Scotland Yard or the FBI come in, use their forensic and scientific explanation to find out not only...
How about that, huh? She was killed several months later by a bomber, but she was actually shot. Yeah, several months later, she revealed bin Laden was dead at least by 2007. Now, family, I'm going to play you a final one. And this one is about 80% true, 90% true, with some modification. It's a new age, but it tells you exactly how they're doing this. Here we go.
The reason that humanity must repeatedly endure things like wars, oppression, genocide, slavery, and other various hardships is because it allows it. So how does humankind allow these things to happen? These aren't isolated or recent occurrences. History is full of examples. One of the biggest reasons behind humanity's plight is our love affair with faulty concepts. And we attach those concepts to faulty words. Here are some examples. Authority is the concept that if an individual or group of individuals declares themselves to be in a position of power and are willing to enforce that position with penalties, aggression, violence, or the threat of violence, then they are legitimate in doing so, and they must be obeyed. But good ideas should never require force. So why are these entities using force to gain compliance? In truth, when an individual or group of individuals is acting in this manner, then they are not legitimate at all. They are completely illegitimate. This would include governments, police, any taxing body, even churches. If we are painfully honest with ourselves, these attributes are even apparent in the gods of the monotheistic religions of today. That's a major clue. Obedience is not and never has been a virtue. To obey someone or something because they have claimed authority is not moral. Rather, it is completely immoral. For an individual to vacate their own consciousness and blindly follow the instructions of another individual because that individual or group of individuals has claimed authority indicates that the individual is engaged in the height of moral laziness. They have deferred their responsibility to someone else. Obedience has been the basis for every wide-scale atrocity ever committed on the planet, and every war. Contrary to popular opinion, the responsibility always rests squarely on the order taker, and only the order taker, for every action that they commit. It can never be blamed on the order giver. To cooperate simply means to co-operate. When an individual cooperates or complies with a corrupt government or a deceptive institution or a dishonest system, then that individual is operating in unison with that system and is morally culpable for the actions of that system. While most people seek a gray area on the subject, there really is none. If you give a system your time, energy, money, or even your tacit approval, you are supporting it and operating alongside of it. And as uncomfortable as it may be, a person that condemns something with their mouth but supports it with their actions is a hypocrite. Just like the word government means to rule the mind, the word movement means to move the mind. Movements are a form of controlled opposition in most cases. When people gather under a banner or under a leader or a slogan, in most cases, they will be steered to the outcome that is most desirable by those already in power, so that the illusion of change will somehow appease the masses. Protests, rallies, and petitions, while exciting, seldom accomplish anything useful. Working within the system to change the system is futile in most cases. However, working within the system to undermine the system can be useful at times. The word revolution means to spin or turn on a fixed point or on a shaft. The idea is to let the populace rotate the wheel of culture enough for it to appear like they are in a completely different place than when they started, when in reality, they are on the same wheel and on the same shaft, and the only thing that has really changed is their perspective. The American Revolution was one such change of scenery. Now, 230 years later, the original deception rotates clearly back into view. The people of the United States and other First World nations are not civilized. Instead, they are domesticated, and there is a huge difference. The actions and behaviors of most people on the planet are persuaded by literally millions of laws, each of those laws enforced under the threat of fine, imprisonment, or violence. Take away the rule of law and the enforcers, and so-called civilized people will quickly find out that they don't know how to interact or transact with each other effectively. It's like a giant farm, and every so often the farmer will lock the herd out of the barn, stop feeding them, and then let a wolf inside the fence. After a few generations of this kind of conditioning, the herd can't imagine what they would do without the farmer. At this point, they are officially domesticated. And freedom outside of the farm is not desired, it is feared. So what exactly is the appropriate response to evil in all of its various forms? The answer is simpler than you think. The answer is non-compliance. So what does non-compliance look like? Well, first, here is what it does not look like. It is not riots. It is not protests. It is not coups. It is not violence. The only time violence would be acceptable would be to directly repel an act of aggression by those with evil intent. There is no us versus them. Instead, it is every single person taking a stand and individually ignoring illegitimate systems of control. We need to acknowledge the fact that the only thing that makes these corrupt systems real is us. Let me repeat that. The only thing that makes these corrupt systems actually real is us. Most of the methods used to control humanity are based on fear. So what are we afraid of? Here are some things to consider. Number one, ordinary everyday people outnumber people in positions of law enforcement by a ratio of 20,000 to 1. Contrary to popular belief, it is not law enforcement that keeps the peace day in and day out. Because, quite honestly, law enforcement is badly outnumbered. Instead, it's really our human nature and voluntary cooperation that keeps things in a reasonably peaceful state. All of this despite the extreme amount of pressure that is exerted on humanity by the actual corruptness of the system. Number two, the U.S. military and its allies aren't keeping the planet safe from contrived and constructed boogeymen that have been created by the covert intelligence agencies. Quite the opposite, actually. The militaries are the global enforcement departments for the international banking cartels, and they help to tear down legitimate regimes and install puppet rulers. This creates a profound hatred for the United States and its allies, and generates a perpetual pool of so-called enemies, which are really just people tired of being oppressed and having their lands occupied. Number three, it is not the legal system and the court systems that are upholding justice. The judicial system is an extension of the banking system. This is why every single court case has a dollar amount attached to it. That is why the wealthy and the heads of corporations seldom see jail time. The true function of a judge, first and foremost, is as a banker. The courts spend most of their time enforcing policies and exerting fines. Courts hear a very small percentage of cases involving actual victims. In the vast majority of court cases, the state is the so-called victim. This should tell you something. Number four, it is not the banking and financial systems that make voluntary exchange between humans possible. Instead, the banking and currency systems are parasitical by their very design and their intent. And they actually thwart development and fair exchange. Manipulation of the money supply alone can send the marketplace into a massive panic and bring nations to war. It's time to wake up, people. The things that you think are keeping you safe are actually destroying you. While humankind gorges itself on entertainment, works itself to death for material possessions and personal status, a global system of control grows stronger each and every day. This global system is incredibly focused. More focused than you can possibly imagine. Humanity is its herd, and the planet Earth is its farm. It will not stop until every single person on the planet is tagged and microchipped, so that even our very thoughts are no longer private, and our every action is easily monitored. Once this is accomplished, then their work can proceed in earnest for their ultimate goal, which is the replacement of humanity altogether. Their new slave race will pose no further threat and provide no opposition. If every single person on planet Earth was to oppose evil with noncompliance, the beast would starve overnight. And once humanity rids itself of the beast system, it can finally begin to create the world it claims that it wants, but has always been too afraid to achieve.
Now, this dialogue that you just heard is about 80% true. There are some parts of it that's not. The part about us getting together and all that, because the reality is, in their own words, for example, is they create conflict to keep us busy, keep us at each other's throats, keep us fighting, whatever way. They evaluate the culture, the Jesuits, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Freemasons, Rhodes Scholars, the Wiccan that's spread out among the ones I've just mentioned, and warlocks, and all these kinds. Absolutely. Memberships of how they do it. With councils and committees, Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, United Nations, Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of National Affairs, Gorbachev Foundation, Club of Rome, Bilderberg, I said that. The Council of Foreign Relations controls your government. The Royal Institute of National Affairs controls, through Chatham House, your government in Britain. Every nation has its policymakers, like the CFR, every nation. Every one of them work together against us as citizens in this world. There is a Satan. He controls every human kind of organization, literally in a supernatural way. The fallen angels controls them also underneath him. This is what this film didn't talk about. Julius Caesar said, and I quote, "Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizens into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It emboldens the blood as it narrows the mind. And when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch, the blood boils with hate and the mind is closed. The leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizens. Rather, the citizens, infused with fear and blinded by patriotism, will offer up all their rights unto the leader. And gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I've done, and I'm Caesar." You see. Now, this leads people to want to have a rebellion. Well, you can't do that either. In a report by the Club of Rome, Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, 1991, said, and I quote, "In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and all the like would fit the bill. In their totality, in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which demands the solidarity of all peoples. But in designating them as enemy, we fall into the trap about which we've already warned, namely mistaking systems for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. It's only through the changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself." Romans 13 is the truth. Romans 13 clearly directs us to obey government until the government causes us to sin against God. Obey the doggone laws. Obey them. But when he calls you to sin against God, no, I'm not going to do it. If you obey them, then they have no recourse. They cannot control you. So they cause you to disobey. So it gives them justification. It's backwards what they've taught you. You see, this is the truth of it. So they got to teach you to be rebellious in an aggressive manner. That's why they created the Tea Party. And the militia groups, you are infiltrated. You do have undercover FBI there that's there to keep you fighting. See, Romans 13 clearly directs us to obey government until the government causes us to sin. Then refuse to do against what God has commanded. The direction to disobey government lies with those who enforce it, not those under it. Not to the citizens who for the most part, are disorganized. For the reality is that the program didn't tell you is that for the citizens to disobey governments would lead to justified death, martial law, or military dictatorship to enforce compliance. To overpower government by revolution, you must have an after-revolution plan to immediately put into place by benevolent leaders who are not Freemasons, who are not Knights of Malta, not Knights of Columbus, that will do what the group wants to do and will be compliant to the desires of the people, which there none of them are. However, this is not the case, nor the reality. The leaders of the alleged republic or democracy actually are the ones forming the rebellion to justify a crackdown on the citizens who are now a revolutionary mode. So the leaders of the rebellion has infiltrated the citizenry to incite them to justify a crackdown or a win by facade to placate the citizens in the Revolutionary War, Civil War, Bolshevik Revolution, Nazi movement, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. This is exactly what happened. You see, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Emancipation Proclamation were all facades all along, always have been. So if you don't have government, you have anarchy. So you got to have a plan. You got to know what you're doing. You got to know who your enemy is. Well, they know that, and they've infiltrated you. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. A whole lot more detail. Family, will remind you that my broadcast of Bible studies are played up in highportradio.net as well on a random basis at John Kirkler, his towers he has in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He plays my programs randomly. He has sponsors up there in those three states. His sponsors can be found on his website, highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. You can visit there if you like. I will be on again tonight, 8 to 9. Bible study to discuss who the enemy really is on a supernatural basis, exactly who they are. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, hit the ground running. We're going to continue on with this discussion and this broadcast and more actual events to show you how they're operating in the news, to show you how it's operating this generation. All European newborn babies will be microchipped from December 2016. All Americans will receive a microchip implant by 2017. Well, they got plans, they think. Most deaths that's going to be occurring in the future of plane crashes and all that are going to be sacrifices, I'm sorry to tell you. I don't have a lot of time to explain a lot of things I say, and some things I will take the time, but I tell you just right straight out, up front, and personal. Boom, right there I go. And that's how I do it. And I try to give you details as I can, but I only got 2 hours to get it through to you. So, family, we'll see y'all tomorrow. And tonight, if you want Bible study, 8 to 9, tomorrow, 4 to 6, we'll continue on with your Watchman for Jesus program about how they're controlling in a lot more detail. So I appreciate y'all coming by today. Thank y'all for stopping by. And family, good night and God bless you. This is your Watchman, Thomas Gamble, signing off.
Confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in. He's alive.
I am with you every day.